life. Jesus is life, and his disciples are too. So why is the story of Tabitha important to us? It would be easy to say, well, it's in the Bible, so that just automatically makes it important. Or you might say, well, she was raised from the dead. That's pretty unusual. That's pretty awesome and amazing. So maybe that's why she's important. And those things are important, but there's something else that we're going to look at tonight that makes her story very unique. Inside the story of Tabitha, we can find secrets about being a disciple, secrets that we still can use today. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Let's take a moment to turn over to Acts 9, and let's learn about this disciple named Tabitha and what she can teach us this evening. We'll start with verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. She was always doing good works and acts of charity. About that time, she became sick and died. After washing her, they placed her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men with him who urged him, "Don't delay in coming with us." Peter got up and went with them. When he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs. All the widows approached him, weeping and showing him the robes and clothes Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. He knelt down, prayed, and turning toward the body, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her stand up. He called on the saints and the widows and presented her alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Jesus is life, and his disciples are too. Let's break this down. Going back to the first verse we looked at in 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, also called Dorcas, and she was always doing good works and acts of charity. Tabitha had a reputation in her community. Now, when we think about a reputation, sometimes we think of a negative reputation, but she had a reputation in her community of being generous and making a difference in the life of other people. She also had a reputation as a disciple, someone who had learned, internalized, and put into practice the teachings of Jesus. The Greek word used here for disciple is mathetria. And according to the Greek lexicon, this scripture is the only time the feminine form of the word disciple is used in the entire New Testament. This scripture right here, it's the only time the feminine form is used. Now, in contrast to that, the male version of the word disciple is used 261 times in the Gospels and the book of Acts. Now, we know from many passages that we read in Scripture that Jesus had male disciples and female disciples. However, the fact that Luke, who authored the book of Acts, refers to Tabitha by using the female word for disciple tells me we can learn something from her about being a disciple. Remember, a disciple is someone who studies the teacher's ways and then implements those teachings in their own life. A true disciple tries to replicate the teacher. Tabitha is a very important person in God's story, and she has some things definitely to show us about being a disciple. The first one is that disciples show love. Tabitha lived in Joppa, which was a very important, busy port city near what would be today modern-day Tel Aviv. And Dorcas is the Greek translation of her name, and Tabitha is actually the Aramaic name. It's interesting that Luke refers to her by both names in this particular passage. Perhaps the use of both names shows that even though she was a Jew, she likely ministered to both Jewish and Hellenistic believers. So, if the placement of Tabitha's story in the Bible, if it serves as a transition of the fulfillment of Jesus' command to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is also significant because very shortly after this particular account of Tabitha in the book of Acts, Peter has a vision of a sheet with some unclean animals on it and eventually comes to the realization that the gospel is for both Jew and Greek. Her name in both languages means gazelle. A gazelle is an animal. In fact, there is a type of a gazelle called a Dorcas gazelle. Gazelles are light and swift, and they're able to get away from their predators. In fact, a cheetah would chase after a gazelle, and a cheetah is known to be one of the fastest animals on the face of the earth. But most of the time, the gazelle gets away because the gazelle doesn't give up. The cheetah will give up before the gazelle does. Now, in Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, which I'm a little familiar with, Dave Ramsey says that you should fight your debt with gazelle intensity. And what he means is you should be swift, all in, never quitting. Tabitha's name indicates she was a woman of energy, grace, beauty, one who could get things done, and one who wouldn't quit. In Luke's writing, he was fairly selective with his praise. Remember, Luke was a doctor. Have you ever been to a doctor that's pretty just matter-of-fact and tells you the stuff? This was Dr. Luke who's writing this, and he was fairly selective with his praise. So the fact that he mentions her as being a female disciple who was always doing good is significant. It's also important to note that in this passage, the only set of scriptures about Tabitha, he never mentions anything Tabitha says, only what she does. So her actions must have spoken louder than her words. It takes a very emotionally, spiritually, and physically strong woman to consistently and personally see to and care for the needs of other people. In verse 37, it says that about that time she became sick and died. After washing her, they placed her in a room upstairs. Okay, about that time? What time? About the time she was doing all these good things. She just kept doing good. This is an indicator to us that we should never quit. There's never a retirement age for serving Jesus. It must have been something sudden that made her sick and caused her to die. Who knows what it could have been, a stroke, a blood clot? Who knows what could have caused her to die? But imagine the shock to the people there that she had ministered to that she had died suddenly. Washing the body was very customary in this time, preparing the body for burial. However, placing it in an upper room was very unusual. Normally, Jewish people would bury their dead either the same day or very shortly after someone had passed away. So the fact that they took her to an upper room is important to note. Another thing to note is that Tabitha is one of the many New Testament believers who, once she was converted to faith in Jesus, she set about to build community. It's quite possible that she hosted a house church in this upper room where she was placed because it was large enough for several people to gather there, and it was common for first century Christians to gather in upper rooms. You may remember the biblical story of a young man who was sitting on a window ledge during a service that went very, very long, and he actually fell out of the window. Okay, that was in an upper room. He fell out, it says, up the third floor. And these early Jewish believers may have also remembered a story their ancestors had told them of Elijah restoring life to the son of a woman in an upper room. This story is documented in 1 Kings 17. It seems that these early Christians believed she could be raised back to life. And another indication we have was that she must not have been very old. If she had been very, very elderly, it's unlikely they would have called for Peter. Verse 38, since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men and urged him, don't delay in coming with us. Now, Lydda would have been about a day's journey from Joppa, so that by the time they went to get Peter and Peter came back, it is highly likely that Tabitha could have been dead for 2 or 3 days by that point. Peter had just healed someone in Lydda who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. His name was Aeneas. Perhaps word had traveled about that miracle, and so they thought he would be just the right person to help Tabitha. In verse 39, Peter got up and went with him, and when he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs. All the widows approached him, weeping and showing him their clothes and robes that Dorcas had made. Note, in this verse he uses Dorcas, the Greek translation of her name, again indicating that possibly these widows that she had been ministering to were potentially Greek. Another thing about disciples is that we can see in this particular thing when we hear that Dorcas sewed clothes and robes is that disciples live out their purpose. Widows were recognized in that particular time of the church as people who had special ministry assignments, primarily works of charity and prayer. 1 Timothy 5:10 tells us that widows could only get help from the church if they were older and described in this way. Well known for good works, has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the saints' feet, helped the afflicted, and devoted herself to every good work. Tabitha looked after the marginalized, the people that other people might have overlooked. She made them feel special. These widows weren't sad because they might not get any more clothes from Tabitha. They loved Tabitha because they knew Tabitha loved them. These clothes were merely a representation of her love for them. She'd made them feel special because of these beautiful hand-sewn garments. These clothes were truly the fruit and labor of Tabitha's love. And these widows were distraught because they would miss her. Clearly, these were well-sewn, handmade, fashionable pieces, something these ladies were proud to wear. When I envision this picture in my head of what happens, I don't imagine them showing a piece of clothing going, see this that she made for me? I imagine them going, see this that she made for me? They were proud of these things that Tabitha had made. The way that these ladies responded to her death also indicates that Tabitha enjoyed her work and loved these people very much. She actually sounds very similar to the woman mentioned in Proverbs 31. The way people responded to Tabitha's death also shows us a picture of the church as the body of Christ and how we function as a whole. 1 Corinthians 12:25 and 26 says, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other, so that if one member suffers, all the members suffer, and if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. She used her talents, which was sewing, and she used it to serve other people. She lived out her purpose. What talents do you have? Sewing? Gardening? Cooking? Playing music? Teaching kids? Follow Tabitha's example and use it to serve some other people. You know, she might have been a widow herself. The scripture doesn't tell us that for sure. But the fact that no husband is mentioned could indicate that she was left fairly well off and able to help other widows. Verse 40, the widows were crying, and so Peter sent them out of the room, probably so he could focus. He knelt down, prayed, and turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. Now keep in mind, this Peter is the disciple that back in the Gospels had been in a boat with Jesus and the other disciples when a storm arose and they really thought they were going to die. And Jesus was laying in the boat, clearly not disturbed by the storm. But the disciples felt like they were going to die. And how did Jesus respond to them? "You of little faith." Okay, this is that same Peter that was in that boat that Jesus said, "You disciples, you of little faith." Peter had grown in his faith since then. That night, he was afraid a storm would kill him when Jesus was right beside him. But now, here he was by a dead woman's body, and he knelt down to pray. He knelt in humility, and he submitted himself to Jesus' authority and Jesus' will. Humility and faith work beautifully together. He knelt, he prayed, and then he spoke to the situation. Sometimes we kneel and pray and we fail to speak to the situation. We should speak to those mountains. Peter said the same thing to Tabitha that Jesus said to Jairus' daughter back in Mark 5. Jesus had said to Jairus' daughter, "Talitha cum." And so Peter would have said, "Tabitha cum." One letter difference. But he had learned from his teacher because he also was a disciple. When Tabitha awoke, her eyes opened and she saw Peter, but she knew that Peter was not the source of her miracle. He was simply an instrument that was being used. Verse 41, he gave her his hand and helped her stand up. He called on the saints and the widows and presented her alive. Can you imagine the joy in that room? Those widows who had just gone outside so Peter could pray, they were weeping, they were distraught. Can you imagine when they came back in the room and she was alive? Sorrow turned to joy. The wonder, the amazement, the praise, the tears, the hugging, the thanksgiving. Bringing her back from the dead, guys, was not for Tabitha's sake. It was for all the people she cared for and all the people who would come to know Jesus after she came back from the dead. Verse 42, this became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Disciples share freedom with other people. This is another point. This became known because people told the story. And when they did, people were amazed and they gave their life to Jesus also. Tabitha's lifestyle showed that love is an action verb. It's intent on helping and doing good for others. She was generous, she was kind, and her living testimony caused other people to believe. This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say what she did next, but I have a feeling she went back to sewing and making beautiful garments for people and sharing with others what Jesus had done for her. And I have a feeling those people that she shared with also learned how to love others and live out their purpose too. Tabitha's story is certainly about her. But it's also about the early church and the community of Christ followers in that time. But it's also about us today. Disciples multiply. Let me ask you a simple question. And I had to ask myself this question as I was preparing this message. Are you multiplying? I'm not talking about eating too much and gaining a few pounds. I'm talking about making and multiplying disciples. Are you a disciple who makes more disciples? This is the discipleship process. Freedom, love, purpose. Someone becomes free. They figure out who they are in Christ. They get their freedom when they get saved in Jesus. They love other people, and they live out their purpose. And the symbol for multiplication is an X. Now, in this particular diagram, and Doug Wright did a great job with this, I explained to him what was in my mind, and he put it in a graphic form. Love is the multiplication factor, because you could find freedom in Jesus. You could live out your purpose, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. We know that. If you don't have love, you have nothing. We also know that if we don't love, people are much less likely to hear what we have to say. They're very less open for us sharing what Jesus has done with it for us if we don't have love. So, freedom, love, purpose, and the multiplication effect. Just think of it for a moment. One, become two. Two, become four. Four, become eight. Eight, become 16. 16, become 32. 32, become 64. 64, become 128. And it goes on and on and on. But it all starts with one. Are you a disciple? Life. Jesus is life, and his disciples are too. Living things grow. I know you're alive because you're here and you're breathing tonight, but are you really free and fully alive? Are you full with Jesus to overflowing, where he's spilling out over other people? Are you multiplying? Are you loving others? Are you truly living out your purpose in a way that exalts and honors Jesus in everything you do? At Abba's House, we are a family passionately pursuing our freedom in Christ, sharing his love, and helping other people find their purpose. That is our mission statement. And it's biblical. It isn't something we just dreamed up. It's who we are. And just think about it. The multiplication numbers I gave you before all started with one. What if Dennis was one, and I was one, and Kelly was one, and Julia Beth was one, and Dick was one, and April was one, and we were all multiplying at the same time? Imagine the compounding effect of that. We could rock this town in a revolutionary way. This house of grace could become a city of grace if we would multiply that way. Being a disciple isn't checking off a box, saying a prayer, and getting your ticket into heaven. It isn't being a Christian and believing you have arrived and that you don't have to do anything else in the kingdom of God. We don't say that out loud, but think about it. Does the way we live our lives seem that way? Being a disciple means you have a burning desire inside you to know Jesus more and to be more like him, and you want others to know him too. Are you a disciple? Really a disciple? Disciples show love. Disciples live out their purpose. Disciples share freedom with others. And disciples multiply. Jesus is life, and his disciples are too. If Tabitha's story has challenged you, I'd like to invite you down front in just a few minutes because I want to pray for you. It challenged me. Some of you are stuck. You love Jesus, but you've kind of lost your way a little bit. It's interesting because in the early church, it was called the way. You've lost your fire. And we know the Holy Spirit is often represented by fire. We want you to get your fire back tonight. So I'd like to invite the worship team to come and for you to stand. I'm thankful that God uses all kinds of people. Because in this room, I see all kinds of people. And He can use every one of us with all our imperfections, all the junk from our past. He can use every bit of it because He works all things together for good. He's got a purpose. He's got a bigger picture. Sometimes we can't see the big picture because we're so ingrained. All we see is the trees. We can't even see the forest because we're just looking at the trees. Sometimes we're looking at individual leaves. We're not even looking at the trees, and there's a big forest. There's a big plan God has. And He has something for you to do. And it might not be, even though you have to have a job to make money and to do what God's called you to do, but He may have something He wants you to do there in your workplace that's different than your job. He may have something He wants you to do in your kid's school. He may have something He wants you to do in your parents' retirement home. He may have something He wants you to do at a ballpark. He may have something He wants you to do under a bridge. He's speaking to some of you right now. Are you a disciple? If you're not sure, or you think you used to be and you're not sure anymore, please come down. Let me pray for you. Pastor Ronnie's permission to end this service a little bit differently tonight. I'd like to ask you guys if you would to go out to the aisles and around. I'd like for us all to get in one big circle and hold hands. Just around the chairs will be fine. Let's all squeeze in so we can make sure that there's no breaks in the chain, that somebody's holding somebody's hand here. It's almost Thanksgiving, and I know that we as a staff are very thankful for you. You guys are the cream of the crop, the super faithful ones that are here, that are doing all the things that we would hope you would do. But I want to challenge you as we head into 2020. I think God's got some new stuff for us. And I think we've got a lot of people to win in this city. And they look like us, some of them. Some of them look really different than us. But almost, well, every human being has a desire inside them to be loved. Is what unlocks and multiplies. So I'd like to spend a time, just for a moment, in prayer for our city, prayer for how we can be the light, how we can be disciples making disciples. And feel free to pray out loud, pray in the Spirit, whatever you feel comfortable with. Pastor Ronnie, if you want to grab a mic and pray, that's fine too. Just want us to be open to what the Spirit would do tonight. I'll start and then Pastor Ronnie can close us. God, we want to be vessels that you can use. We want to just be conduits that you flow through for your service just like Peter said to Tabitha, get up. We look at people every day that are dead. They're walking, they're talking, but they're spiritually dead. God, give us a passion for lost souls. Light a fire that can't be quenched. Use the people in this circle to get it started today. Let us be modern day Tabithas, going about doing good and loving others and telling them about Jesus and how he's changed us and how he's made us free. And then we're not just alive, we're fully alive. God, use even our hang-ups, our imperfections. For letting us be yours. Thank you for letting us be family. To those widows, Tabitha was their family. Help us to be family to some people who really need that.
Father, we thank you for this tremendous word we heard tonight. This word that fits where we are. A teaching for right now and for 2020. Lord, give us that gazelle faith. Lord, give us that tenacity, that resurrection faith that we need to walk through difficulties, diagnoses, struggles in our everyday life. Lord, give us that gazelle faith, that Tabitha faith. Lord, I pray that everybody in this room would walk in healing and wholeness when they leave here. That these anointed hands that represent unity that are touching right now, Lord, would also represent a force that can't be reckoned with. A spiritual force that's going to turn this city upside down as prophesied tonight in this teaching. Lord, I thank you for our team. Lord, I thank you for our worship pastor. It's not here yet. Lord, I don't know where he or she is, but you do. You're watching over them tonight. You're putting dreams in their heart. Lord, I don't know if it's Florida, Atlanta, Chattanooga, Missouri, Nebraska, wherever they are. Lord, I pray you'd speak to their spirit, comfort them. And Lord, we're thankful for where we've been. We're thankful for where we are. But in the kingdom, it's always about where we're going. So, Lord, thank you for alerting us to the season we're about to enter into. For making us aware of the fact that we do need to change and you're calling us to change. That our ideas are great, but your sovereign plan is always the best. And so, Lord, we submit to it and we're thankful for your grace, your love, and your mercy in this season of Thanksgiving. Be with Pastor Ron as he brings his final word until 2020. We're thankful for his health. Give him the anointing Sunday to challenge our people. Lord, we pray for a supernatural offering as we give an offering of Thanksgiving at the end of the service on Sunday. Lord, we know the vision you've given us, what you've called us to do, and where you've called us to go. So, Lord, may we be faithful to sow, faithful to serve, faithful to give to those who are less fortunate than us during this season. Bring in a harvest, Lord, that will bring glory to your name and to your church. Bless your people tonight, Father, and keep them safe as they go. For thine is your kingdom, your power, and your glory. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you all. Let's just give God a hand clap of praise tonight. What an awesome word.